Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We youth are very thankful for the opportunity to serve and to share with you today. My name is Eli, and if you looked in the bulletin, you've realized that you're stuck with me today. In preparation for the service, I had a bit of a mini crisis trying to figure out what I was supposed to share. I prayed about it and decided that since it's Easter Sunday, I felt I should talk about Easter. But then I realized that Easter is actually not a very specific topic for a sermon. So I prayed again, and I felt like God directed my attention to specifically why the resurrection matters and what it means to us today. I realized that I had been guilty of apathy when it came to celebrating literally the greatest event in all of human history. Jesus' death, and therein the defeat of the very concept, is the entire basis for our faith. So it's probably not a bad idea to review it at least once a year. Now, because organizational skills are apparently genetic, I have 3 points for you today. But I promise there's minimal alliteration, so you can all relax. Alright, please bear with me as we examine the resurrection of Jesus Christ and why it still matters to us 2,000 years later. I'd like to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Keeping the scripture in mind, my first point today is, he rose. The basic principle behind the resurrection is exactly that. Jesus rose from the dead. To put it in perspective, let's briefly walk through the gospel story. Now, we the youth have learned to share the gospel through a simple acronym, G-O-S-P-E-L, and it goes like this. G, God created us to be with him. In the beginning, we were in perfect unity with God. Genesis says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. So, our entire purpose is to relate to God. It seems to me that so often in life, we have a crisis of faith as we try to discover what our purpose is. I know that for me, getting ready to head to college and having determined the course of the rest of my life, I can so easily lose focus of that and what really matters. Because while yes, we have careers and tasks and different missions that God might call us to during our time here on earth, God gives us our truest, most basic purpose here in Genesis, and that's to exist in unity with the Father. When we're in that right mindset of seeking God first, I believe that everything else falls into place accordingly, and we get to live our best life. Oh, our sins separate us from God. When Adam and Eve broke their covenant with God by eating of the forbidden fruit, they removed themselves from God's presence. They were no longer realizing their purpose, and thus more and more evil began to enter their lives. S. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Losing that perfect connection to the Father, we have an innate desire to try and restore it by doing good deeds in hopes that we can make ourselves holy enough and worthy enough of God's presence. But it's all in vain. The Bible says that even our good deeds are like filthy rags, and therefore they're unable to cleanse us in the truest form. P. Paying the price for sin. Jesus died and he rose again. Out of his great love for us, God sent his only Son, a part of himself, into the world to live the perfect life that we never could as fully man, and then to become an eternal sacrifice for the atonement of all sin as fully God. Now the last two are E, everyone who believes in him alone shall have eternal life, and L, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. And these are certainly important, we'll come back to them later. But for now, I'd really like to delve into the resurrection of Jesus Christ and why it matters to us. Now, throughout the whole gospel story, the goal has been to recover relationship with God. And it makes sense that we would want to get that back, as it's the only thing that can ever satisfy the truest inner yearnings of our hearts. But I had to ask myself, why would God want that back? What do we offer God? Why wouldn't God have just given up on us long ago? Why, after all the countless betrayals, after all the slander, after all of our disobedience, wouldn't God have just said, well, you're not taking this seriously, so why should I? I mean, he's God after all, he could have. But in the course of human history, God has been continually faithful to us, continually merciful, and continually seeking a relationship with us. And yet, we've so often treated him like garbage in return. So why does he bother with us? It says something about the way God loves, that after all we've done, he still loves us. To God, we are worth an infinitely powerful and holy being dying on a little tree in Jerusalem while being mocked by those he was trying to save. The significance of Jesus' work on the cross cannot possibly be stressed enough. But it's also important to note, as our skit so eloquently put, he came back. Jesus kept his promise and he returned from death. Thank you. Now, I think this is special for several reasons. There's the supernatural aspect implication that Jesus was literally more powerful than death, which I think is really cool in a super nerdy way. And there's the fulfillment of all the ancient prophecies. But I think really the most important thing that Jesus' resurrection shows us is it gives us faith that our belief is well-founded. Had Jesus not risen from the dead, if we think about it, there would be serious question as to whether he really was the Messiah. And our practice of Christianity wouldn't make much sense. But since he rose from the dead, we know that he can do all that he claimed to do. Jesus' resurrection not only affirms our faith, it makes it logical. One of the strongest apologetic arguments that evangelists use is that Jesus' death is so well documented and there's so much testimony from eyewitnesses that observed his resurrection and his ascension. It establishes the very faith that we practice today. Which brings me to my next point. Jesus rose, so we rise. He rose from the dead, but what does that really mean for us? As we said, the basic goal of really all religion for all of history has been to bridge the void between man and God and recover what we lost in Eden. And as the Old Testament shows us, we've never been able to accomplish that. Despite all of our striving, all of our rituals, all of our prayers, all of our religion, it's impossible for us to atone for our own sins. At the Maundy Thursday service, while we were discussing the significance of communion, Brenda Ader said something that really touched me, and I'd like to share it here today. In the book of Numbers, there's a story of a man who was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Of course, this was against the law at the time, and so they followed procedure, and he was stoned. Not the Denver, Colorado, hey man, peace kind of stone. They actually threw rocks at him. My point is, the Old Covenant pointed to the holiness of God and the imperfection of man. Thus, sin was dealt with really harshly. But then came Jesus, and because of his work on the cross, we now enjoy free communication and constant relationship with God, rather than just empty religion. And we have the promise of everlasting life in paradise. All we have to do is seek him and allow him into our life. Jesus commands us to take up our own crosses and follow him. We can be a part of the story of salvation if we only accept God into our lives and we listen to his leading. Over the last few weeks, I've had the distinct pleasure of participating in a Bible study that a few members of our church host at the local jail. Last week, Andy Harrison was giving a lesson over Good Friday, and he was making the point that the disciples were so caught up in their idea of the Messiah. They thought it was going to be a military or political leader that would free the Jews from Roman rule and establish an earthly kingdom. They were so caught up in this that when Jesus died, even though he had warned them of the events that had to unfold, they were completely distraught. Jesus' closest followers were taken aback because God's plan wasn't what they were expecting. It wasn't until Jesus returned and he basically spelled it out for them that they realized that rather than an earthly kingdom, Jesus had triumphed over death. He'd established an everlasting heavenly kingdom, and he covered over all of humanity's sin. I think that that's probably a pretty big blunder on their record. And to illustrate on a small scale of an example of this same lack of perspective, I then shared a story from my own life, and I'd like to share it here today as well. Now, there's a running joke in my family that everything seems to work out for me. My sisters make fun of me, they call me the golden child, which I guess isn't really an insult, but it still hurts somehow. But the truth is, I had kind of an awful week last week. Now, nothing tragic happened, and I'm certainly not asking for sympathy, because it was really funny more than anything. But it just seemed like there was a perfect storm of events where nothing seemed to go to plan. I got chewed out several times at school for things that weren't really on my radar. I performed really poorly at a concert. I was slated to win the indoor state mile, but I ran horribly and I barely even medaled. I went to mock trial state where I'd been all state the year before. And just once again, every time I tried to do something, it seemed like I would just fail, like it wouldn't go the way I had anticipated. So after all that seemed to blow up in my face, I came home and I was licking my wounds from the weekend. And I had an interesting prayer time with God. I asked, "Father, what's going on? Why did I fail this week?" And as soon as I said that, immediately it was like a sheet was lifted up in front of me. And I realized that my definition of failure isn't God's definition of failure. Mm-hmm. While I didn't perform well, it humbled me so that I wouldn't be prideful over the weekend. While I didn't race well, I was able to befriend several other runners and act kindly to them, even in defeat. While maybe I didn't argue my court case as well as I could have, I learned a tremendous amount from each failure, and I was able to share this with my teammates moving forward. I realized that while things didn't go the way I thought they were supposed to, I had gotten something better from each day than I had even anticipated. I'm sure the disciples thought that Jesus' death was a failure. They didn't realize that it was the greatest victory that could have ever been won. And I think in the same way, God has so many neat plans for us and so many opportunities for us. But when we stubbornly hold on to our image of what we think things should look like, we jeopardize those greater things that he wants to do in us and he wants to do through us. Simply put, Jesus' resurrection means that God is going to give us what we need, but it might not always be what we think that we want. My last point is raise his name. Jesus rose from the dead. He called us to rise to the life that he's prepared for us, and that life means raising his name. In Jesus, we are assured of our own salvation, and that's a great message. But what do we do next? As usual, Jesus has the answer. When he appeared to the disciples at Galilee, he gave them the Great Commission, which I'm sure most of you know. Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the things I've commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. My point is, Jesus died for you. He died for me. And he also died for all of our neighbors that don't know the wonderful gift of grace that's been extended to them. It's our solemn duty as Christians to share with them the love of Christ to the best of our ability. Now, we discussed this in youth group a while ago, and we were sharing the fears that kept us from sharing our faith. And someone said something that really touched me. They said that they were afraid to share the gospel because they felt that if they shared it wrong, that perhaps that person wouldn't be saved. They wouldn't be able to save that person. And even furthermore, they said that maybe they would be responsible for that person going to hell. When they said this, it really touched me because I realized I had the same fear gripping me. Maybe some of you have had the same fear gripping you. But I quickly realized something that put everything into perspective and really comforted me. It's this. Our job as Christians isn't to save people. Saving people is God's job, and he's actually really good at it. Our job is to share the love of Christ to the best of our ability and to show people what he's been doing in our lives. The simple truth seemed to lift a weight from my shoulders, and I hope that maybe it comforts someone out there today. Sharing the gospel is our greatest mission on earth, and I know that I, at least, have done a really poor job of it in the past. So my church family, I hope that you will join me this week in trying to change that by committing to listen to God's leading and have at least one meaningful, faith-based conversation with someone who needs to hear it. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. We're not to fear, we are to share." So to recap, the resurrection is the single most important event in history. It gives us faith that Jesus is in fact the Son of God, and that if we allow him into our hearts, he alone can save us from our sin and raise us to new life, even here on earth. The resurrection frees us from empty religion, and it allows us to relate directly to the Father. We must always take care to look at situations through God's eyes, not our own, so that we don't miss out on the greater plan that God has for our lives. And part of that plan involves sharing the good news that's been entrusted to us. I think that if we keep this in mind as we celebrate this Easter season, we will allow God to enrich our lives more than we could ever anticipate. God wants to work in and through every single person here in this room today. What will our response be? If Jesus' death and resurrection really is the most important event in all of human history, do we, as Christians, live our lives as if that is the case? As we ponder that, would everyone please bow their heads and close in prayer with me?
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.